Hey, so good evening. This is Project Likutei Sicha, Sicha Beis for Karach. This Sicha is based, of course, on the story of Karach and the immediate aftermath of what he wanted to do. So when we look in the pasuk, we know that after the sin of the spies, after the Meraglim, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because they felt that they didn't want to be involved so much with the physical, just being in the physical world. And they recognized, it was very obvious that there was a mistake thinking that that the right thing to do is to stay in the Midbar and to be just surrounded by spirituality. It was because of that that Korach then decided, hey, wait a second. If living in this world and dealing with the world is the most important thing, then there really shouldn't be any difference between the Kohanim, Levim, and the Jewish people. I also want to be, a high priest. And we know what happened there with that complaint to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was really taken aback by this and really didn't know what to do. When they turned to Hashem and said, what should we do with this Korach person and this rebellion as such, they're saying that, they want to be the Kohen Gadol. So the pasuk tells us, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron leimar." This is Perek Tzayin, pasuk Chav. So Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, "He badlu b'misaych ha'ed ha'zayis. Separate yourselves, disassociate yourself from these people, right? Korach and his 250 cronies. So it was mainly at the beginning, Korach, Dustin, Aviram, and Ayin ben Peles. Though Ayin ben Peles had a very righteous wife who convinced him to have no partners with Korach. So at the end, it was Korach, Dustin, and Aviram, and 250 men. And Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, disassociate, separate yourselves from these people. V'achala isam karegen, and I will consume them in an instant. How did Moshe and Aaron respond to this? V'yiplu al pneihem, they fell on their faces. V'yayimru, Hel Elokei HaRuchais, Hashem, right? Elokei HaRuchais is a terminology. We find this when Moshe Rabbeinu was told at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, when he was told that he was not going to go into Eretz Yisrael and he needed to, and Hashem was going to appoint someone else in his stead. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, using the same terminology, Hashem Elokei HaRuchais should appoint a leader up for the Jewish people. So too here we see Hashem Elokei HaRuchais, but it says more than that, L'chol Basar. Hashem, who knows this idea, who knows Elokei HaRuchais, Hashem, the God of all spirits, of all flesh. Okay, and we're going to see this is the base of our Sicha tonight. This is how they refer to Hashem. Hashem, the God of all spirits, of all flesh. Ha'ish echad yechteh va'akol ha'edetik saif. Should one man sin and then you're going to get angry at the entire congregation? So what we're going to look at, Rashi, we're going to see, and we're going to read it from inside the Sicha. Rashi talks about this terminology. What is this Hashem, Hel Elokei HaRuchais? And Rashi says, what? Yodeh machshavos. So what does it mean that God who knows the spirits of man? That means he knows everybody thinks. He knows the thoughts of all people. And what? Rashi continues, and this is going to be the crux of the Sifa. You, Hashem, your character traits, your abilities are not like a mortal king, a regular king. Why? Melech basvedam, shesarcha alav miktas medina. And here's the important words. A king, shesarcha alav, this word sarcha, it means it does something, literally word is to stink. So a regular person who does something distasteful, okay? He does something not nice. So he says, if a king, Sarhalav Mikas Medina, some of the people in his country did something that was not nice, it was offensive in some way. So a regular mortal king wouldn't know who actually rebelled. Who was the who rebelled? The fi or who sinned? Lifichach jehuka es nifra mikulam. So a mortal king, if people, if there was a group of people who did something offensive or even sinned, he wouldn't know who it was, and therefore he would punish everybody. Aval atah, but you, Hashem. This is how Rashi is explaining this terminology, God, the God of the spirits of all men. The fanecha gluyais kol hamachshavais, before you is revealed, and we're going to see this is also important, it's in passive. Before you is revealed all thoughts are revealed in front of you, before you, Hashem. V'yodeya atah miachayte, and yodeya, you know who the sinner is, okay? Who the instigator. And therefore, Haisha is a question. Who hachayte? There's one man who is the one who did, who really sinned, who instigated this whole thing, who's really the one who's rebelling. So there's one man, he's the one. Va'ata'a kala edetik tzayf. And you're going to get angry at the entire congregation? So Rashi continues. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem responds to Maishan Aaron and says, Yafeh Martin, you've spoken well. This is very good. Ani yodea, I know, you're right. I know exactly who the people are. Umaydia, I will let everyone else also know. Mi chata umi lo chata, who actually sinned and who did not. So now let's go into Sicha. We see the Rebbe is quoting in Sif. So if we begin, of course, with this quote that we've just read. The Heintiger said, our parsha talk starts with telling us that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron. Right? Separate yourselves and I will destroy them in a minute. So they came back with a taina, with a complaint, an argument. Hashem, you who are the God who knows the thoughts of all humans, will one man be the true sinner and you're going to get angry at everybody? So the reason for why did they preface this complaint to Hashem, one man sins and you're going to kill everybody, right? You're going to get angry at everybody. So Rashi explains, why did they preface that with saying Hashem, the God of all spirit of man? So Rashi explains, as we've just read, was touched up, El Elokei HaRuchos, in the words, Elokei HaRuchos, Yedei Machshavos, Hashem knows the thoughts of all men. Since everything, all thoughts are revealed before you, you know who sinned. Ishachad, who achaita. So one person is the one who actually sinned. You're going to go and you're going to get angry at everybody. And Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem answers, Yafa Amarta, you've spoken well. Ani yodea umaydia michato milechata. You know, and I will let everyone know who sinned and who did not sin. So the Rebbe is going to ask a question here in general on this. As is up in it, move on. We don't understand something here. Was is that to night had basha? The Ibishti is Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar. Rashi explained these words, Elokei HaRuchos. It makes sense. God who understands the spirit of man. And like I mentioned at the beginning, when Hashem told Moshe that he would not go into Eretz Yisrael and he's going to replace him with a new leader, that's the term Moshe Rabbeinu used also to talk to Hashem. Hashem Elokei HaRuchos, you've got Ishala Eda, that Hashem, who knows the spirit of all men, should appoint somebody, the right person. But why do we need these words, L'chol Basar, God who knows the spirit of man, of all flesh? This is a preface to those words. If one man sins, why should you get angry at everybody? We would have understood it just those three words, Hashem, who knows the spirits of all men. Why do I need the terminology l'chol basar, of all flesh? And this question gets stronger. Nochmer is a sneak move on, even more not understood. When we see the way it's, how this phrase is used in the Gemara. State in Yerushalmi, as echad hashamea klalos Hashem, Mizrael, anybody who hears someone cursing the name of Hashem, whether it is from a Jew or from the mouth of a non-Jew, he is obligated to rent his garments as if he's in mourning. My time, my time, what's the reason? Ani Hashem Elokei Kol Basar. That's the reason given. I am Hashem, the God of all flesh. Taste as Elokei Kol Basar. So we see from this Gemara that when we use this expression, the God of all flesh, Mensu Kolazad Ochnit Eden. So that phrase is used whenever we want to include non-Jews as well. And if that's the case, then it's quite difficult in what we're talking about here. The fact that Hashem knows the thoughts of even non-Jews, that's what l'chol basar really means. What does that have to do with what Moshe and Aaron are asking Hashem? If one man sins, will you get angry at all of them? We're talking about Jewish people here. What difference does it make if Hashem is the God of all flesh? That's not relevant to what we're talking about right here. We're talking about Jewish people who are sinning. You would think that this kind of preface, stress of Hashem is the God of all flesh, in other words, even non-Jews, this seems to be some sort of an argument that would be more fitting for Avraham Avinu to have used, but again, to Stein, which is similar when he argued with Hashem about the destruction of Stein and Amara, because there, Avraham Avinu was also saying, you know, why should you kill these entire cities if there are some righteous people there? And what do we find? What was Avram's argument at that point? Ha'af tispeh tzaddik in Russia? Will you really destroy the tzaddik, the righteous one, with the Russia? And there, it's true, there we are talking about non-Jews. But that fetches up in ganz nit der mund. Indeed, from Avraham Avinu, number sign given, ha'shleife kol art lo yaseh mishpa. But we see in Avram's plea, in Avram's davening to Hashem not to destroy Sodom, if there are any tzaddik in there, he doesn't mention anything of this sort. He doesn't say Hashem Elokei Ruchais. He just ends by saying Hashayfit Kol Earth Lo Yaseh Mishpat, or the one who judges all of Earth not do correct justice in this case. So if we're talking about an inclusion of non-Jewish people, why was that necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu? Number one, and number two, it seems that it would have been more appropriate for Avraham Avinu to use that kind of terminology. Yet we find he doesn't. See, Bays. So this question, the Rebbe explains, Vabir, the explanation of this is like false. Taina, this argument that Moshe and Aaron will bring forward, but Cholos in general, for Moshe and Aaron is Bashtanin in them. The Balka Oibishta Bidi Asavashka Hasai Hapratis is klar. Vers is given der Chayte Mamish, und Zvishin Adas Karach, und as Aza is given nor. So what were they trying to say? Since Hashem knows with his knowledge and the divine providence, and very specific divine providence, he knows clearly who is the person who really sinned. In other words, who was the real instigator behind this whole rebellion amongst this whole congregation that had joined Korach. Therefore, Hashem therefore knows that it's really only one. Lashon Rashi, ha'ish echad hu achayte, this one person is a sinner. Umvigureta mo barucha, and like we've talked about length before, the Rebbe says, in the beer from the mashal was Rashi brings up, in the explanation of the particular mashal that Rashi is bringing here, melech sevedam shesar chalav miktas medina, a mortal king, where some people have acted in an offensive manner. Any idea miyachayte, he doesn't really know who the sinner is, who instigated anything. Therefore, when he gets angry, he punishes everyone. But you, Hashem, you're not like that. You know exactly who the instigators are. Thus is Masbir. So this explains the Adas Karach, and he given kind. So it explains what they're trying to say, that the Adas Kairach, these 250 men who followed Korach, they weren't really sinners in the sense they didn't intend to rebel against Hashem. Nazi Zion Nispisa in Sugzeit in Gevarn, Korachim. They were enticed, they were drawn to Korach. Okay, so he convinced them. Therefore, you can't say that they are on the same level of sinning as Korach himself. It's just they did something not pleasant. They did something that's offensive. So there's a difference between doing something that's offensive, not nice, and doing and literally rebelling. And that's what they're trying to say. When Gus is given, there's Ayatina. This is what Moshe and Aaron are saying to Hashem. We're arguing. He called as the Abish to Izya Demashavais. Since you, Hashem, you know the thoughts of people, you know what's going on in their heads. You can differentiate, therefore, between chait, a rebellion, a proper sin, and something that's offensive, but not a true rebellion. As a chait umarid mamish is given nor ene, that the sinner, the one who literally really rebelled, was only one. Ha'ish echad yechte, one man sin. Ha'ish echad hu achait. There's this one man who's a real rebel here. He's the one who caused all of this. And therefore, he's the one, since he's the one who caused it, he's the one who should be held liable for this offensive behavior of the entire congregation. And therefore, because there's a difference between the instigator and everybody else who got pulled into the whole thing. So we're not saying there shouldn't be a punishment, but certainly there should be a different sort of punishment for the instigator and then for those who were pulled along. And that is what Moshe and Aaron are arguing. Under me, this move on. For us to make a feat, need to be hacked down by a care ruchos, a kiyotz bize, kind of Avram Avinu. Now with this, we now understand why Avram Avinu didn't use this sort of expression when he was arguing about Sodom and Amara, or any type of expression similar to this. By Tanis Avram, why? Because Val Darton is given nor the Chilik from Sadik and Rasha. Because Avram Avinu was only differentiating between the righteous people and those who sin, the Sadik and the Rasha. But Zetzich Goloi, the Maisa, can be actually seen in a very revealed way because it's based on their actions. He's saying, in Stum, if you have people who were not, who didn't act in this disgusting manner and didn't sin, or people who did, that's the difference. As a nikivender suk fun sirchain umela nagea the idea to machshavas k'day to machzans zwischen sirchon und chet. So it wasn't none of this idea that there was one ringleader and everybody else was just following along, and so therefore this whole discussion was not relevant for Avram Avinu, and that's why he didn't use that expression. It wasn't about differentiating something that's hidden. It was about differentiating between things that people were doing. The people were doing the right thing, and people were doing the wrong thing. If there were enough people in Stun doing the right thing, then Hashem should save the city. So now we understand why we had Avram Avinu didn't use the terminology, but we're coming back now still. Like them, was Rashi Zok their Lashon. We now understand why Rashi uses the active voice here. When he talks about Hashem, he says, Hashem, you know the thoughts of, you know who sinned. And so too, in the quote of Rashi, when he says, well, how did Hashem answer? Hashem also answered, Ani yodeya, I know, in the active voice. He doesn't use the passive voice, it's known to me, but rather I know. And that's the more common expression amongst Chazal, amongst our Chachamim, our sages. We see the words used in passive voice, galui v'yadua, that things are galui, are revealed and known before Hashem. Uva prat, Rashi alein heibda on mitin lashon lefanecha gluyas kol machshavos. As we see, Rashi himself at the beginning of his explanation, he starts off with a passive voice. That Hashem, everything is known before you. So everything is known before you, and therefore it is known before you who sinned. He doesn't do that. Rashi says, everything is known before you, therefore you know, in the active voice, you know. And then Hashem answers, I know. So we want to understand now, what's the difference between Hashem paying attention to someone in the active voice, Hashem says, Yodea, I know, or it is known before me. What's the difference between that? And the Rebbe is now going to explain this difference in terms of Hashkacha. We talk about Hashkacha Pratis, divine providence, and how Hashem involves himself with this world. There are two levels. Asvara in them, the explanation is as follows. There are two levels in this Hashkacha Pratis, in this way that Hashem knows or supervises this world. Aleph, the first one. The idea on hashkacha, so knowing and supervising in them fun galoy v'yadua. There's the knowing that Hashem knows what goes on in a very passive way. It is revealed and known to him. Nit b'derech hislapshus, not the way it's enclosed in the world. Not how kol galoy v'yadua lefanav yisbarach memela. It's like it's automatic. There's no extra effort, so to say, from Hashem. Everything is known to him. I'll call prat to prat. And even though this knowledge is every single detail of the world, like the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, that the whole world is like Hashem, is all Hashem anyway. Everything is from Hashem. And just like we are aware of every part of our body, even if we can't see it, we're aware of it. Now, if we pay specific attention, we're aware of everything. So to Hashem, it's all known to him. Everything in this world, everything he created is known to him because he's constantly activating and keeping it here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. However, because this knowledge that Hashem has about everything that goes on in the world is actually higher than this world. It's higher than any creation. In a way, it's separate. It's so high that it's separate from creation. The Riber is as an Eifen Vos Nemtrum Alanavrain Beshaven. Therefore, it's like this all encompassing knowledge of the world that includes all creations equally. It's a knowledge of the world. Okay? And it's higher than all the creations. As Dart Zon Pike, sorry, Unzi, I'm sorry, von them, as Dart Zon Pikem Zain. And it's also higher from the ability for creations to have in any way affect that part of Hashem's knowledge. Kaviyachol. Maisa hatachtayin. The result, nemen an art zeir chilukim adregas. So the place where it's higher than being able to be affected or having any differentiation in terms of Hashem for the different levels. So we talk about, for example, dam tzmei chayim adaber, that there are the inanimate, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and men. On one level, on this higher level, where Hashem is just aware of the whole world, completely separate and above and higher than this whole world, he is aware of everything in the world, and there's no differentiation in his awareness of the different categories of creation. We're all equal at that level. But then there's a second level of hashkacha. The idea of hashkacha in a idea. So it's like saying, I have my body, I know everything that's going on. But then sometimes I notice something very particular and I have a really good look. There's something on my leg that's really bugging me. So I take a really closer look at it to see what's going on. Okay? So there's a knowledge and a supervision that is in a way of knowing. It's as if Hashem is taking his time to know this, paying particular attention. But derech hislapshus means in a way that he's actually enclosed in the world. On that level, on this second level of knowing everything in its detail, so here there are differences in how Hashem is paying attention or focusing his attention, depending on the category of creation that we're talking about. And not only on the category, but even in the way of man behaves. The hetem to the madrega from yad and nivra, fitting in with whatever level each creation is at. And it's this second level of Ashkacha, where we say Hashem pays particular attention to the different levels of creation, that we can talk about Hashem knowing what's going on and giving us reward and punishment. Because if you think about it, we know that, of course, the Torah talks about, you know, certain mitzvahs or certain transgression, Mrs. Leisa, I say, that if a person does, there are certain consequences for doing it. But we know, in terms of schar and einesh, in terms of punishment and reward, it's also different for different people. So somebody who does something wrong, let's say who transgresses Shabbos, there's a very big difference between someone who grew up knowing about Shabbos and learning about Shabbos and who knowingly is transgressing and being mechalel Shabbos versus someone who didn't grow up with Shabbos and isn't aware, has no idea about the laws of Shabbos and transgresses Shabbos. So the ability of Hashem to give reward and punishment depending on the person means that Hashem is taking into account each individual on their own level. And that's that is called Hashkacha, divine providence, that's enclosed in the world. In other words, what's going on in the world does make a difference. That is why Rashi is very particular and he's very exact when he uses the word yodeya. He knows in the active voice, unit yodua, not the passive known. Because what's relevant here, the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the divine providence that's connected or from which comes reward and punishment. And even more, and not only that, but it's also a knowledge that comes from being clothed in this world. In basically having Hashem like get involved and look deeply and clothe himself in the details of what happened here in this Adas Karach, in this congregation, in this with these 250 men who followed Karach, be sumaydi design until Hashem said, I will then let everybody else know. There's is gang and blight asirchon umi chayte, who is the category really of who's done something offensive and who is really the one who is the rebel, who really rebelled, who had intention here in their sin. So this is a yodea. Okay, so this is the argument that Moshe and Aaron are saying. You have all of these people. We know, in the view of Moshe and Aaron, Korach is the one. He is the instigator. So why should you be angry at everybody else? You could differentiate between those who sinned and those who didn't, to those who are instigated it and those who got swept up in the whole thing. And therefore, Hashem Elokei Ruach is you, Hashem, who can differentiate. You can enclose yourself in what's going on here on that level of schar and einesh. You can make a difference. You can decide and recognize how the punishment should come and the difference between these people. Sif Dalet. The Rebbe is now going to bring up something that the Rambam says about divine providence, but then show us how it applies or doesn't apply to our situation. As the Yadua Dishita from Rambam, Marin Avuchim, we know that the Rambam, the opinion of the Rambam, or his view, in Marin Avuchim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, as Nar of the Mina Ha'adam is Dahashkach Pratis. The Rambam says, it is only human beings that have divine providence, that Hashem pays attention to what happens to them. Hashkach of a Pratistic Amench. Okay, so the idea that only human beings that have Hashem really has divine providence over every single person individually. So according to the Rambam, divine providence is for men, like for each individual person, there is divine providence. But when it comes to the other categories of creation, to the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, inanimate objects, there, there's divine providence over the species as such, but not over every single particular animal. Okay, that's the view of the Rambam. So, you know, if a whole species is going to be extinct, that's something that Hashem is going to decide. But if one particular animal is going to get killed and not another one, the Rambam says that Hashem doesn't, he just lets that go. And not only that, the Rambam continues, according to the Rambam, even amongst human beings, is the Hashkacha Nit of Alma B'Shava. Divine providence is not the same for all humans. Nor is light there, Dveikus von Secha Adam zum Eibishter. It depends on how closely a person connects his own intellect with Hashem. In other words, the more awareness you have of Hashem, the more Hashem pays attention to you. The Sichling, Hamemrim in Roshayim, the fools who rebel against Hashem, and the evil people, by Zayzin Gantini Tadid Vekas HaSeichel Nelkos, who completely don't connect their Seichel to God, they don't want to acknowledge Hashem, they don't pay attention, they don't learn about Hashem, is there Oivishtha Funzei Mesalak Yashkacha Pratis. If the Rambam Hashem withdraws his individual divine providence over them, or the Yashkacha of Zay is out there, they become like an animal, right? Like the other categories of creation, like the inanimate plant and animal kingdom. And that's the quote that we have here from Tillin that says they're compared to animals, right? That means there's a hashkacha klolis. What does that mean, hashkacha klolis? That means the estate, like we see, like the Rebbe is going to explain, we start the panai mehem. We have a pasuk in the Torah that says, what happens when Hashem hides his face from them? Then all sorts of bad things and all sorts of problems will find them. Or the way it's until because what are they going to say? Because there's God is not within me, the kirbi can be within me or amongst us. Right? These evil things have found me. What does that mean? When Jewish people tear themselves from Hashem, tear themselves away from Hashem, or separate themselves from Hashem, distance themselves from Hashem, then they give themselves up to chance happenings. Like something that becomes hefker, right? Something that's it's nobody's possession. Anything can happen. And then all these tsaras, all these problems will find them. In other words, we will find them. It's as if they come upon it just like that. You know, they get swept up, you know, wrong place, the wrong time. And, you know, they were just there and something crazy happened in nature and there was a tsunami and or there was a flood and they were affected. It just kind of happened to them because they were there because they didn't want. You know, they weren't connected to Hashem. Hashem said, okay, so let nature take its place. Because divine providence that's over Rishayim is like the rest of the other kingdoms, besides Hashkacha Kol is just this general sort of providence. So now we understand, as Afilo Ben Zay, Afilu Venze Ver Nenish Mumaila. So then even when they get punished, need in Ivan Famufka Lamikra, even when they get punished, not in a way that they're just like given to circumstance or whatever happens. No, it's Goliath or Omish Kumpashkaka Mumaila. But let's say they're punished, not just, you know, a chance event that seems that you don't where you don't see anything special, don't see anything unusual, just this just happened. You know, someone's in a car accident. Yeah, people got in car accidents. It's not an unnatural event. But even when they get punished in a way where it's very obvious that this punishment is coming from Hashem, like we have right here in the story of Korach, where the earth opened up, where something that says this was something that was created in the very beginning between day and night of Friday, Erev Shabbos, that the world, the earth would open up its mouth, something complete that never happened before. So here it was very obvious that Hashem made a miracle. It wasn't a natural kind of event to that point. He's up there unish van haga mid saying need to not practice taking an iPhone, not in an iPhone clearly. Still, this punishment, this behavior toward them was not a detailed one. It didn't take each person into account. No, it was more in a general way. Now there was the Rambam Shlaib Dart in the way that Rambam says asichlim hamamrin, that foolish people who rebel, sudru b'seder, sh'ar ish minei b'lechayim. M'pnei zeh, haya kal lahargam. So these sort of people, they are treated like all other people, in other words, even non-Jewish people, and all other species of the of the animals. And that's why it's easy to kill them, because it doesn't have to take into account each one individually. As a general, they sin. Okay, this is what's going to happen. But if we're going to use this shita, that they were Rishayim, they distanced themselves from Hashem, therefore they're not deserving, as the Rambam says, of Ashkaka Prates, for Hashem to pay specific attention to them, but as a klal, as a whole, this has happened, so therefore something will be punished altogether. So then, why are Moshe and Aaron saying, Elokei Aruchais, Ha'ish Echad Yechtev Akala Eda Tiktzayf? Why are they using this terminology then? God who knows the spirit of each man. Does one man sin and will you get angry at all of them? Because they don't deserve to have this individual divine providence, nor Ashkacha Kalis, nor this more general one, like inanimate plants and animals. So if this is the case, then why there's no place in here for them to argue, for them to demand or expect Hashem to enclose himself into each one of them individually and to look at every single person individually to differentiate whether they were just did an offense or whether they actually rebelled. Just according to the Rambam, they all deserve, they distance themselves from Hashem. They deserve to be all in one swipe, all punished together, equally and finished. So how do we explain that difference? Steve Hay, or in Emerson, says need kind kusha, but really the Rebbe says it's not really a question. Why? We'll understand why this isn't really a question based on something the Mittler Rebbe taught us. Thus was the Rambam help as I said, tell kind of shkacha patis oiv men tmeh chai. So we understand because the Mishnah Rebbe explains that the fact that the Rambam says that there is no divine providence over plant, animal, and inanimate, and the same over Rishayim, is actually not a contradiction to the Shita of the Baal Shem Tov, as we know very well as Chassidim, and as sung in the song of the Blekele, the little leaf that Avram Fried sings from Yom Tov Erlich. It is Baal Hashgacha Pratis of Al Nivraim, because according to Baal Shem Tov, like the Rambam, he says, no, Hashgacha Pratis pertains to every single creation. Even a little leaf falling off a tree is divine providence. And it's for perhaps a little caterpillar crying out to Hashem that it's too hot, that kind of a thing. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. Every single creation has divine providence. So how does the Mittler explain what the Baal Shem Tov is saying versus the Rambam? The Mittler explains, because here again, we have two different levels of this Hashkacha Yana, two levels of divine providence. So remember, we mentioned before that there were these two general levels, this level of knowing the whole world equally, or coming down to this world and looking more particularly at individual things to then supervise what goes on. And even here, the Rebbe explains, the Mittler Rebbe explains actually, there are two levels. What's that? Number one, something called Hashkacha Pnimis. So a very internal sort of Hashkacha. What does that mean? Hashkacha is Begilui. That means the divine providence is very open and revealed. Just haste. Ziznit Bahalten Unfardek Durch Levushia Teva. It's a kind of divine providence that's actually not hidden in nature. But again, the Rambam, is like the Dveikus from Seichel Adam Belikus. So that level where we see open divine providence that's not covered up in nature, in other words, when we see open miracles, right, crazy things that are openly a miracle, we see splits for the Jewish people. The rockets fall and none of them hit anybody, right? They all fall in fields. And they're not falling on houses. They're not killing people. So when you have, this is called Hashkacha Pnimis, when Hashem is literally involved, where it's very obvious that Hashem is involved. That is the level that the Rambam would say depends on how much we believe in Hashem, how much we connect our sefer with Hashem. For the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and inanimate objects, as well as Rishayim, they don't get this type of hashkacha. an Eifem Prati, no Eifem Klaus Hamin. So that they don't get that on an individual level. It's just in general over the species, but not individually, because they don't connect themselves to Hashem. But then there's a second level of Hashkacha Pratis, and that level is called Hashkacha Chitzainis. This is more an external kind of Hashkacha. What does that mean? Hashkacha is Malubash Behelem Malubush Yateva Ukiyat Bezet. Here, the Hashkacha is enclosed in nature. Okay? Di Hashkacha is for an Alan of Rai, Matim Shijas Abal Shem Tov. And in this level, it is for all creatures and all creation, and this fits in with what the Baal Shem Tov said. There's Hashkacha Pratis for everything. But it's not necessarily obvious. So in other words, there is Hashkacha Pratis. Every leaf that falls down is for a purpose. But it's not obvious that that's Hashem. You can look at it and say, oh, that's nature. You know, you have different seasons and you have these deciduous trees and they're green and they turn, you know, red, orange and red or whatever, red and orange, and the leaves fall off and they die, and they rot on the ground. And then, you know, there's a cycle of nature. So what happens each day, okay, it's all enclosed in nature. That's the second level where it's, of course, it's Hashem doing it, the Shkacha Pratis, and Hashem is paying attention to every single thing individually, but it doesn't look like that. It looks more like this is naturally what goes on in the world. Kum Tachoy, so what comes out of all this? As Ayachadas HaRambam is for Shkacha Pratis of Rishayim. I mean, even according to the Rambam, there is divine providence for Rishayim. She's not as by Zay, he's does Hashkacha Chitzainis. It's just it's the more external kind. In other words, it's not necessarily clear that it's Hashem running, pulling the strings. Ungaton un fahailin ilivushia teva. It's Hashem's power enclosed and hidden in natural events. Azai, that is nika via the prat kum tumedushan. So that it's not recognizable that every detail of that person's life is being run by Hashem. It looks like it's just kind of natural events. Ziz konstirni to them, but state mitza uhurais. And this also doesn't contradict the pasuk that says, you know, if he doesn't follow Hashem's way, then bad things find him. Mitzauni harais, bad things have found me. When the Rambam touched up, as me is mufkar lemikra, and as the Rambam explained, this is like he's made hefker, he's given over to circumstance. But the hanhaga gufa is hashkacha pratis, because that itself, that is the hashkacha pratis that we're talking about. V'istanti panai, Hashem hides his face. In other words, as his nikan siluk hashkacha. Don't say that Hashem is removing divine providence. It's just he's hiding it. That's his blade. He's starting panai. I will hide my face. Hester of Hashkacha Pnimis. This is a hiding this inner divine providence. Zvan does a man can zich onreden zayne tzar zayne and ivan from matzuni. The point that a person can convince himself that these things are not from Hashem. They just found him. You know, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. As is minhag island, just the way of the world. That's the kind of thing. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Like that's the way things run in the world. Oh, the nikra nikris, or it just happened, right? But the truth is that even then, of course, it's hashkacha pratis. Hashem is controlling every single detail of our lives. It just we can either see that in a very obvious, open, miraculous way. Or it gets enclosed in teva where we can make the mistake and say it's all natural. And of course, we know this very well. If the example is Purim, we know that Purim Megillas Esther is revealing that which is hidden. We talked about the Megillas Esther is hinted to in the Torah of Hanachi, Haster Asteras Panai, when I will hide my face. And we know the whole story of the Megillah is about that. The fact that Hashem's name is not mentioned in there, that Hashem was hidden throughout the story. And those who want to can look at the story and say, it was just the way natural things happen. You know, you have evil people and they get up and they want to kill people. And just by, you know, stroke of luck, Mordechai overheard it. And therefore he was able to come to the king, you know, with serendipitous, just at the right moment, all of those sort of things. So this is how it runs. If we are not Zayfet, then Hashem allows things to happen within the nature. I'll be calling now, so now based on all of this, is move on the Shaychos from the Hakdama Elokei Ruchos L'chol Basar. So the Taina Ish Echad Yechtev Akala Eidotik. So now we go back to our beginning. Now we understand when Moshe and Aaron were saying to Hashem, if one person sinned, are you going to get angry at everybody? Why did he have to preface it with Hashem, who knows the spirit of all flesh? Why was that the introduction? as we said before, that was our question, right? We're talking about Jewish people here. So why are we using this expression that is normally used to include non-Jewish people? With the Rogachab is Mefarsh and Pasuk, and as the Rogachab explains this Pasuk, Ani Hashem Lokei Kol Basar, when the Pasuk that says, I am Hashem, the God of all flesh, the use of Ivan Oibin the month in Yerushalmi, that's based on that Gemara that we quoted before. Rogachab says, this is stressing the idea that there is divine providence also for non-Jewish people. Thus is the recite from Tanis Maisha Ba'aron. This then became the base the argument of Maishan Aaron. As the Oibishter Dags of Panem and Ba'ifim Prati, to Machal Dan Svishin Diva Sarhuala, Kun Demchaita. Hashem really should be busy, in other words, to take the time to differentiate between those who just acted in a not nice manner, offensively, you know, in a stinking manner, and those who actually rebelled. Even though all of them, were, you could say, are in the category of fools and shine evil people. But because Hashem knows the thoughts, he knows actively, he can get in, he can come down here and differentiate. And he even knows the thought of even non-Jew, a b'nei noyach. And even for them, there is this divine providence. Hashem will run the world exactly as is needed. Everything will happen to them exactly as Hashem wants it to happen. And even if there is no connection between their intellect and Hashem, so how much more so? If Hashem is okay, Hashem provides divine providence for all human beings, even non-Jewish people who are not connected to Hashem, how much more so as the Eibishter is Yodei Machshav as Mashkiach and Ivan Prati from Yedin Eden? So how much more so does Hashem pay attention and knows the thoughts in an active way, in a very detailed manner for every single Jew? Even for those who, in a revealed way, have torn themselves away from godliness. And that was their argument. Steve Zayn. And even though, like we said before, when a Jew doesn't do the will of Hashem, the Ashkacha Pratis that he has is like the Ashkacha Pratis over all the other nations. Ashkacha Chitzonis, this kind of divine providence that's kind of external. But he's Malubash in Levushi HaTebekana, as we explained, means it's enclosed in natural events, in what appears to be natural events, because of course nature is Hashem always, but it appears to be us as just the laws of nature. From this fact, nevertheless, is the Achiluk creates vision of his lapsus in the Ashkacha of Aiden on the Havel of Umas Oilam. However, even though we say a Jew who sins, a Jew who's disconnected himself from Hashem, is going to be on the same level as a non-Jewish person. In other words, he's going to have Ashkacha Pratis, but it's going to be enclosed in nature. However, there's still a key difference. What is that? By Umas Oilam, to the non-Jewish world, because they get their life force from the outer aspect of Hashem, which is Shem Elohim, that's the name of Elohim, Gematria HaTeva. Alter Rebbe tells us in Tanya, the name Elohim represents Hashem as he is enclosed in nature. And that's why the name Elohim has the same numerical value as HaTeva, nature. Because the name Elohim represents, as Hashem deals with this world, in a level that is hidden within nature. And that's why they're in general, because Jewish people, the non-Jewish world nations, come from this element, from this aspect of enclosed and hidden in nature. That's why they are mainly under the rule, or under the, you could say, the processes of the nature. Is the Ashkacha of the Lechatchila, nor from Shem Elokim, the Madregin Elokos versus Maluvash Dachat Teva. And that's why, for the non Jewish world, they're getting their life force from that name of Hashem. And that's why it's that level that is enclosed in Teva. That's where it comes from to begin with. That Kegan Ba'in, in contrast, a Jewish person for the Jewish nation, was their highest from Shem Havaya, the Jewish nation as a whole, we get our highest from the name Havaya, Yudke Vovke, the four-letter name of Hashem, which is the name of Hashem that represents Chesed Chinam, giving us life force, is the Hashkacha Pratis of Zeb Etzef from Shem Havaya Atzmai. It's a primistic and Gluyadika Hashkacha. Gluyadika, sorry, Gluyadika Hashkacha. So the Jewish people, we get Archais from the name of Havaya, which represents a much inner, a much deeper and inner level, and a much more revealed level of divine providence. Thus was the Eden of Zion neat based in Ritzana Shalmakam. Is the Ashkacha Pratis of Zay Helam in Lavushia Teva? And the fact that we have Jews who don't do the will of Hashem, and the fact that their divine providence is hidden in Teva, Mendes Nitas Lagabe Zay Nistale Kazashom the Ashkacha Vashem Avaya. It doesn't mean that suddenly they're not getting to remove that Hashkacha, the life force that's coming from Shem Avaya, is sort of taken away from them, removed from them. In and the because no matter how far a Jew may have gone and what situation he is in, a Jew is always connected to Shem Havaya, to this higher level of Hashem. As we say, whether this or that, no matter what a Jew does, he is still a child of Hashem. Now the Ashkacha is full Shem Havaya Atzmai. However, what happens is when a Jew distances himself from Hashem, then it's still the name of Havaya, Yudke Vavke, but as that name is enclosed in Elohim, in the second name. And that's really the meaning of these words, Vihistarti Panai, when Hashem says, I will hide my face. So he's not a Hester of Panai, it's just, right, Hester hiding the face. The face is that inner divine providence, so that or that revealed one, the one that we can actually see, this is really Hashem here. So there's a Hester of that. So it's Hashem, of course, doing it, but including it in Teva, like we've mentioned before. And therefore, because for a Jewish person, Achais is always from the name of Havaya. It's just that if we distance ourselves from Hashem, Havaya is going to come through Elohim. But that means also that if a person really thinks about what's going on with him, they're grown to Benzir when they're kennen as is Hashkacha Pratis. He can find, he will recognize that this really is Hashkacha Pratis, that all the things that seem to have just happened or gone according to nature and therefore gone kind of belly up, that's really Hashem and that's Hashkacha Pratis. And durch them, they and then when we recognize, the more we recognize the divine providence, even in the areas of our life that look like nature took over, but by thinking and contemplating the events and recognizing the divine providence in them, then the divine providence, well, in other words, Hashem's hand in each detail will become more revealed, even to those who maybe did not do exactly what Hashem wanted. To meet this Achmuspan, the Taichon Tachlis in their Hadra from Hester Panai. Now we can also understand what is the purpose of Hashem behaving in this way, this hiding his face. So why does Hashem do that? Why would Hashem act in such a way that we would think that the tzaras or any problems that we have are not coming from him? Why? You could ask. The whole point of Hashem giving us challenges is for us to become closer to him. Arouse us to do tshuva. It's Hashem giving us a wake-up call. So if Hashem is going to hide his face, we're not going to recognize that it's Hashem who's doing it, how is that going to arouse us to want to come to do tshuva? Like if I know it comes from Hashem, then I say, okay, this is from Hashem, I'll do tshuva. But if it looks like it's nature and I don't recognize that it's from Hashem, how is that going to make me want to come close to Hashem? The Eser feels, especially if he feels, nidas di yisur mizayin v'ashkacha patz from abishten u'mein as'iz anikra nikris u'nit mita kavana to the reckoning to a tshuva. Especially if he can think that these punishments or suffering that he has is not necessarily from Hashem. You can think, oh no, they're just, you know, they just so happen to be. And therefore, he doesn't see it as Hashem's intention of bringing him, of causing him to do Shulah. No, the in is Canaan. However, what we've said before is what will explain this. Since we just said that the Jewish people are always connected to Shem Havaya, the fact that Shem is hiding, that's just on the outside. But for a Jew, our life force and everything that happens to us is coming from that higher name of Hashem, Havaya. The fire is done in them, the kayak to Arizan by Eden Atsnu from Shivan Alukos. And because we are always connected to that higher level, so Jew, even when a Jew who's sitting, when something happens to him, because it's really the source is Shem Havaya, therefore it can touch our that pintleyid that's within us. And even more so, the Hashkach of the Shem Havaya is Damot Paranit in Shaykhut Sukhsa going from Eden Vroom in Zi Zetzif Niti Hashkachas is Vistanti, nor going to get to the Atmistik of Nehus. And in fact, even more so, because this Hashkach of the Shem Havaya is coming across not in a very revealed way, right? But it's rather, it's hiding, it's hidden in nature. It's coming from the essence of Hashem as it's hidden. Therefore, Rirt es Mimela on Zain Etzem. So, like a water reflects a face, because it's coming from the essence of Hashem, hidden in Teva, so therefore it also affects the person's essence, his etzem. And as is known, and we know that what kind of tshuva really affects the person, affects his essence, affects every part of him, that's only tshuva that comes from distance. When someone is very far from Hashem and feels that distance, that is what brings him to want to come close and affects everything about him. And therefore it affects all of his avaida, all of his service to Hashem. But when we talk about tshuva that, let's say, a tzaddik does, in contrast to a baal tshuva, who is distant from Hashem and therefore has this tremendous desire to want to come close and can then reach tremendous heights. When a tzaddik does tshuva, and we know a tzaddik can do tshuva, in other words, the idea of tshuva getting closer to Hashem, a tzaddik can always become closer and closer to Hashem. But when a tzaddik does tshuva, these nidas are not getting closer by Gaza, right? As Gid Nar to Shlemus Zayin Avaida. For a tzaddik who does tshuva, it doesn't affect everything. Aspect of his being and every aspect of his service. It just might be in a particular area of his divine service, he's reached a higher level, a more complete way of doing a particular thing. So what we're seeing then is this, that's what the Hashgacha practice is about. There's this general one, there's a more particular one, and in the more particular one, it can be in a way that we see Hashem clearly and recognize him clearly, or it's closed in Teva. And now we'll understand this request of Moshe Rabbeinu and the way Hashem answered it. Sif Tes, final Sif. He says, I've moved the deer in the mirror from Abish and Moshe. So now we can understand what Moshe and Aaron are asking. They're saying to Hashem, you who had Ashkacha Pratis, the whole buzzer, even for a non-Jew, surely for a Jewish person, you should come and differentiate between those who sinned and those who didn't, those who instigated and those who were enticed, who got swept up in the moment. Well, what did Hashem answer? Yafel Marta, you've spoken well. Ni yoideya, I know, umaydiya, and I will let everyone know. Michata umilaychat, who sinned and who didn't sin. In other words, zvet zayin nit nor videham getainet, as the Eibishte is yoideya machshav, as Hashkacha Pratis, as Ali Eid, Nafilo, Eid, Vesuk, Eid, Eskara. Hashem says, I'm not going to do even more than what you said. It's not just that I know what they're thinking, and there's Hashkacha Pratis for all the Jewish people, even for the type of Jews who are part of this congregation, and other Jews who've sinned or have distanced themselves from Hashem. From Gussi's Faram by Kol Basar, because that, he said, Hashkacha Pratis, that's for all flesh, all humans. By almost the Island Canal, even non-Jewish people have that level of divine providence, right? That Hashem causes everything to happen in this world. But what Hashem says, I'll take it to the next step. Nor ani yoideya umaydiya michato milaychata. I know, and I will let know. In other words, the Hashkacha Pratis v'tzanin an oifen goloi. Not only will I know and pay attention to them, I also will punish them in a way that it'll be very clear and obvious that it is my hand. Okay, in other words, that level that normally would be for someone who does recognize Hashem, that's the way I'm going to punish them. Not only do I know, and I can differentiate, but I will let it know. I will do it in a way that's very revealed. As Olive Elm Zen, the Any Buster, everyone with their fleshy eyes will see. That Hashem is, in a sense, being busy, taking time to do this very inner inspection, right? Hashkacha pratis, and to save anyone who did not actually sin. Chach by zeh is given sarchu, even if they did something offensive, but if they really got caught up in it and weren't really rebelling, Hashem says, I will make it very clear that I can differentiate, and it'll be done in a miraculous way that everyone will see that it is me who is doing this. And that type of divine providence, as oich be azah sug mental design the hashkacha pratis and oifen goli mita his lap. And Ivan Gali Mikai Slapshus, he's done nor by Eden, by Am Kravish Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this type of Ashkacha Pratis, and even for those sort of people that who've distanced themselves from Hashem and who have not followed Hashem, should have in a very revealed way in this his Slapshus, and although Hashem coming down and paying attention and differentiating and showing them that it is his hand, this is only for Jewish people, for the nation that is so close and dear to Hashem. Hashem takes the time, and we should never think that we are alone. We should never think that any part of our lives is just happened. Hashem has a plan. We don't know his plan. We say, Hashem's thoughts and our thoughts, Hashem's ways and our ways are not. We must always know and have emuna and the bitachon that every single detail of our lives is Hashem's hand. Hashem is doing it. And Mirtz Hashem will have the zeichet to have the gula hamitzvah v'ashleim, the complete and ultimate redemption, when we will be able to see and understand all the things that have gone on in our lives and how ultimately they were for the very best. May that actually happen immediately, right now.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.